From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. Today is Wednesday, August 13th. I'm Ula Kuziz. 16 transgender members of the Illinois and Missouri National Guards are seeking voluntary medical and honorable discharges from the service before the Trump administration starts removing trans people from the military.
I had to volunteer myself because I've put it as I could either walk out or I could be carried out.
We'll hear from one member of the Illinois National Guard on her decision. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. The Missouri Supreme Court says it will not immediately review a lower court ruling that has paused enforcement of most abortion restrictions in the state. In a unanimous opinion issued yesterday, the judges said the challenge to the preliminary injunction must first be heard in an intermediate appeals court. Attorney General Andrew Bailey had asked the Supreme Court to skip that step because the case relates to the constitutionality of a state law. A Kansas City judge has three times paused enforcement of the state's near-total ban on abortion. She has also temporarily struck down several regulations designed to make the procedure harder to access. Yesterday's ruling does not address the merits of that temporary pause. Stagnant population growth remains one of the biggest challenges for the St. Louis region. As St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports, recent census numbers paint a sobering picture for the future.
St. Louis has lost about 21,000 residents in the past 4 years, dropping the total population at around 280,000 people. St. Louis University's Ness Sandoval says that the St. Louis region's growth has been fairly small over the past few decades compared to other cities. And Sandoval points to policy decisions, including a lack of housing for families.
These young residents who want to stay in the city and want to stay in our region will ultimately leave to other regions that are building this housing.
Sandoval says if the St. Louis region grew at the rate of other regions, it would have 4.2 million people instead of 2.8 million. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
According to the most recent U.S. jobs report, Black Americans are seeing an increase in unemployment. In addition, the unemployment rate for Black women is surging and causing concern among economists in the St. Louis region. St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports.
The unemployment rate for Black women has increased from 5.5% last year to 6.3% now. The most recent data for the area is unavailable, but economists say the region's rate typically mirrors the country's. Recent job cuts within the federal government, retail, and trade industries are negatively impacting Black women. Bill Rogers is with the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis.
When the economy gets the flu, African-American and the communities in which they live will get pneumonia. If you have no more than a high school degree, that just makes it harder for you to compete.
Rogers says the rapid increase in the unemployment rate for Black people aged 16 to 24 is also concerning. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri will be closing 12 of its 34 schools for children with severe disabilities. The Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education Board voted unanimously yesterday to approve the closures because of ongoing staffing issues. Board Vice President Brooks Miller of Sunrise Beach says it's vital that the board keep tabs on the students affected by the closures.
But I think for the future, as we consider the population that we're responsible for here, knowing the past is going to be extremely beneficial.
Six of the 12 schools, including Gateway in St. Louis, had already been closed temporarily, with students sent to different schools. The department says 61 students were previously displaced by the temporary closures, and another 64 will be affected by this round. St. Louis Public Schools has partnered with a new bus provider to transport students for the school year. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed has more.
The district will be rolling out a new fleet of air-conditioned buses on the first day of school, which is next Monday. There are over 200 buses and 200 drivers provided by Zoom, a school transportation company that has signed a 3-year contract with SLPS. The announcement comes after the district struggled to transport its students last school year after its main bus provider ended its contract. The district relied on a patchwork of over 18 vendors, including buses, cabs, and vans, which were often delayed, leading to complaints from parents. The district did not provide any major updates on additional transportation plans for students who were impacted by the May 16 tornado. The district estimates up to 2,000 could still be displaced. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Mary's Southside Catholic High School has completed the purchase of its 23-acre campus from the Archdiocese of St. Louis. The school purchased the building for $1.5 million. It's also partnering with SSM Health and a trade union to teach students trade skills. St. Mary's started leasing the property in 2022 that followed the Archdiocese's plan to consolidate and close a number of schools, citing declining enrollments. Mike England is president of St. Mary's.
The work ahead is imposing, but we will not and cannot become discouraged because we know we are making a difference, one person at a time.
School administrators say the partnership will give students opportunities to receive college credits. Four members of the Missouri National Guard and 12 members of the Illinois National Guard are seeking voluntary separations from the military because they're transgender. This comes as the Trump administration set a deadline for trans military members to apply to leave on their own or to be removed from service. Specialist Dahlia Dahl of the Illinois National Guard is one of them. She spoke with Jonathan All on St. Louis on the Air about her decision.
You know, when we get past the deadline, which we're already past the deadline at this point for voluntary separation, it will be involuntary. When we were first told, we were told that no one can out anyone. People have to come forward themselves. And after the voluntary separation deadline, then people can be outed. People can be investigated. And if people know, which my company commander and company first sergeant did know, and my entire leadership knew, and the entire unit knew, because I would correct people when they misgendered me, even if it was accidental, which most of the time it was. And like I said, those people were good people, but they would know, and so that's not allowed, and they would have to send that up. Hey, we have a soldier here with gender dysphoria, and she can't be here. I had to volunteer myself because I've put it as I could either walk out or I could be carried out.
What do you make of President Trump's assertion that people who are trans don't have the physical and mental health and selflessness and unit cohesion to serve? And this is the president's words.
Right.
Expressing a false gender identity divergent from one's individual sex cannot satisfy the rigorous standards necessary for military service. What do you make of that?
I think that that is incorrect. I think that there has been nothing relating to me being trans that has affected my ability to be a soldier. I think that President Trump is someone who has not explored gender in the way that I have. And because of that, he is uneducated on this particular issue. And I think perhaps if he were, he would have a different mindset on it. And but the fact is, he's not. You know, he made the declaration that there are only two sexes, which if you've studied biology at all, then you know that intersex people do exist. People who are not, we'll say, biologically fully male or fully female.
And you went through basic training, you went through advanced individual training, you mm-hmm. did your yearly, and you were around other soldiers who were very well aware that you were transgender, and you never had a problem in completing your duties, building camaraderie, serving your country.
I haven't had any problems, no. This is the only reason that I am being removed from the military. I don't want to leave. I want to finish out my contract at least. I saw the military as a job and one that I wasn't looking to make my career, but I liked it. I liked a lot of the people there. I'm losing a lot of friends here. I'm losing the ability to see a lot of my friends. You know, I still think "Drive Like Hell." That was our unit's slogan. I think I learned a lot. I think I did a lot, and I don't like that this is the ending I'm getting. It's, to put it into art terms, this is not narratively satisfying.
When all of this is over, will you call yourself a veteran and will you be proud of that?
I will absolutely be a veteran. And because I'm being honorably medically discharged, I've absolutely served. I went through basic and AIT. I put on the uniform once a month, 2 weeks out of the summer. And I have been a soldier And I'm absolutely proud of the work that I've done.
That was Illinois National Guard Specialist Dahlia Dahl. She spoke with Jonathan Aul on St. Louis on the Air. Our Brian Moline edited that conversation. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music is by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Arla Kuziz, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.